fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. We're back to talk again today about this great season of Advent that we're walking through. I want to talk about what the Catholic Catechism tells us about the role of Israel, the Jewish people, in God's plan and purpose. Because even though this season of Advent looks at and often celebrates, and for most of us, our attention is on the first coming of Christ, Jesus' birth, his incarnation, his coming in the flesh. And we celebrate Christmas, and we should, because it changed everything. You know, it's a mystery beyond our capacity to fully understand and communicate, really. The fact that God, the creator of everything, who has all power, glory, and majesty, humbled himself and became one of us. I mean, that's so beautiful and so awesome. Makes you want to just bow, even talking about it, to somehow humble ourselves because of God's awesome humility, his power, his holiness. It's a key part of what we're celebrating. There's really no question about it. But again, we're talking about the beginning and the end, the coming of Jesus and the return of the Lord. And the life of the church exists between those two realities, through the birth of Jesus, really, ultimately, and his final return when he will come to judge the living and the dead. And as I spoke on Monday, we celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We talked about the woman clothed with the sun. If you didn't have a chance to hear the programs earlier this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. There's lots of other good stuff, free stuff there for you. I think you'd find very encouraging and very upbuilding. And you can also download those to whatever device you have to be able to listen to them at your leisure. But the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the book of Revelation, the passage that we were given, the woman clothed with the sun. This woman, as I said then, is a prophetic sign to the church. And in the book of Revelation, the author of Revelation speaks often in symbolic terms. And so the image of the woman represents not only Mary, the mother of Jesus, but also, I said, the church, but also faithful Israel and the long journey and pilgrimage the people of Israel had in their vocation to bring the Messiah into the world. And God's purpose and plan, Paul tells us, in the fullness of time, when time had reached its prophetic fullness, God sent forth his son into the world, born of a woman, in the book of Revelation, and tells about it. But that passage, born of a woman, comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. God's plan and purpose with Israel is not over. They still have a unique role to play, and throughout history, throughout the time of the church, there have been Jewish people who've come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And it's still happening today. I just happened to come across a very interesting website, I think I mentioned this last week, a few months ago, called I Met Messiah. It's at imetmessiah.com. It's the testimony of, I think, hundreds almost on that website of Jewish professionals who have come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. It's an inspiring website worth listening to. But my wife, for example, is a Hebrew Catholic, someone who's come to believe that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And so there's been a sign throughout the history of the church of the Jewish people receiving Jesus as Messiah. But as we know, the vast majority of Israel has not accepted Christ. And so there's a mystery there of what is God's plan and purpose with the people of Israel. And there's a couple of paragraphs in the section on the return of the Lord in the Catechism that I want to read today, and maybe it'll give us a little bit of insight. This is paragraph 673. Since the ascension, Christ's coming in glory has been imminent. So what does that mean? Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father after his resurrection, and his return is imminent. Could literally happen at any time. Even though it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, that's quoting the words of Jesus. Says this eschatological coming, that is the coming at the end, his final coming in judgment, says this eschatological coming could be accomplished at any moment, even if both it and the final trial that will precede it are delayed. So what it's referring to, we'll end up talking about the final trial that the church is going to enter into, which is I'll talk about that hopefully tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Friday, which is a very sobering understanding of what's going to happen in human history and the spiritual conflict that the church is yet to engage in. When the Catechism tells us we follow Jesus through his Passover, which is what, his crucifixion, his trial. It goes on into paragraph 674. It says, the glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. For a hardening has come upon part of Israel in their unbelief toward Jesus. And so let's break apart what that sentence means. So, the glorious Messiah is coming. Now, Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, right? It's Israel's Messiah, but he's the Savior of the whole world. And all of Israel is still, most of the people of Israel are still looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. I mean, if you look at the Jewish people in the world today, many Jewish people are very secular, some are atheist. Most of all Jewish people have a clear identity of being Jewish. It's important to them. There are Orthodox Jews, there's conservative Jews, there's Reform Jews, there's ultra-Orthodox Jews. There's a range of sort of Jewish participation in their life and their vocation, an expression of that reality. And then there's a very small number of Jews who've come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So what the Catechism is doing, it's reminding us what St. Paul and Scripture teaches us, that the relationship between Jesus and the Jewish people, as we see it today, it's not complete. There's something more that's going to happen in it, because there's been a hardening of the heart, a turning away from the gospel, a refusal to accept Jesus as the Messiah on the part of most of the Jewish people. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans in chapter 11 and other places, will talk about the fact that, and he kind of warns Christians, he warns Jewish believers to be careful, and Gentile believers in particular say, wait a minute, don't boast about what you have and don't look down on the people of Israel, because God's not done with them. God's plan and God's purpose. There's a hardening, Paul says, that part of the reason of their hardening and turning away from the gospel is somehow in God's mysterious plan and purpose and out in the outworking of his plan of salvation. And when they refused, then the gospel went to the Gentile world. And for most of these 2,000 years, we've been in the time of the Gentiles, when the gospel is taken, but it was initially received by Jewish believers. The apostles, Our Lady and the apostles and the early church was all Jewish for the most part, right at the beginning. And so they're the ones who brought the gospel, the good news of the Messiah, the word of the Messiah, to the nations, to the Gentile world. And that gospel has been spreading these 2,000 years across the world, and it continues to spread. But Jesus will not return until his plan for the people of Israel is fulfilled. Let's hear what the Catechism tells us. I'm going to read this line again. So the glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. So what he's saying is, he's quoting St. Paul, that all Israel is going to recognize the Messiah before he comes. And in the meantime, there's been a hardening of the heart, the mind, against Christ, against their Messiah, and they're now in unbelief toward Jesus until he comes again. So it goes on. St. Peter says to the Jews of Jerusalem after Pentecost, repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. So on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up on that day, having come from the upper room, having received, along with the apostles and Our Lady, having received this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. Jesus said, wait, you will receive power from on high. Jesus said that in the beginning of the first chapter of Acts, and he said that John the Baptist baptized with water, but he said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who's filled with the Spirit. He's anointed by the Spirit. That's what it means that he's Messiah. He's the one who has the power to lead the people of God, to lead people out of slavery into freedom. Because he has within himself power over life and death, and he has, and that power is exercised and given through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told the apostles, wait, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, the Holy Spirit was poured out. They received power. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead was poured into them. That's how the church was born. The church is not just another organization created by devout human beings in the world that want to think more about God or get people to think about God. The church is a miracle. It was born and continues to be born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter stood up, left that room, and began to preach the gospel in Jerusalem on that day. And he said, as people noticed the dynamic power that was on the lives of the apostles coming out of the upper room, Peter stood up and said, what you're seeing is the fulfillment of the promise of the prophets of Israel, that God would pour out his Holy Spirit, not just on Moses or individual prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but he's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on all flesh, even on Gentiles, not just on Jewish people, and that God would bring his people from death to life, because all of us stand in need of the work of salvation, and he wants to break down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. And so Peter's saying, the prophets prophesied what you are seeing, and people's hearts were stirred. The hearts of Jewish people were stirred on that day, and they said, how can we respond? What must we do? Peter said, repent and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. That means turn away from the direction you're moving in. Turn toward God. Acknowledge your sin. Repent of your sin. Receive baptism and enter into this new life of this new church that God is establishing. The paragraph goes on and says, St. Paul echoes St. Peter. For if their rejection, that is the Jews' rejection, if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? The full inclusion of the Jews in the Messiah's salvation in the wake of the full number of the Gentiles will enable the people of God to achieve the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, in which God may be all in all. God's plan is that Jew and Gentile would come together, that the body of Christ, the people of God, would be made up of Jews and Gentiles together, becoming one new man before God. And there will be a turning of all Israel. We don't know exactly what all means, but there will be turning of the people of Israel to receive the Messiah. And then the people of God will be what they were meant to be ultimately. And that's going to happen just before the Lord's return. Let's take this up again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.